Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. For the last two broadcasts, we've been listening to a chapter from Dr. Jennings' audiobook, Could It Be This Simple?, with Dr. Jennings himself doing the reading. We learned that we are all deeply involved in what he calls spiritual warfare, a battle between good and evil that touches each of our lives. We also learned that God is working hard to heal the damage that such warfare causes. We discovered that God has handed us a powerful weapon with which to do battle with evil. That weapon is truth, as expressed by Christ's example and heaven's amazing laws of love. Today we wrap things up with what comes next in our lives when we accept His help and His salvation. At the end of his presentation, Dr. Jennings will provide an update on a patient he calls Mary. The transformation in her life is incredible and very encouraging. Here's Dr. Jennings.
We are called to become mature Christians, to develop the ability to discern the right from the wrong. But all too often we remain as little babes, concerned about breaking the rules or worried about hurting our Father. When will we actually grow up and understand our Heavenly Father? When will we enter into unity, harmony, and friendship with Him? And when will we cooperate with Him for the restoration of His image within, the writing of His law and methods on our hearts and minds? Imagine again that your mother raised you with a rule that you must brush your teeth. Now that you are grown and on your own, you proclaim, "I am free from mother's rule. I am never going to brush my teeth again." And you don't. What happens? Dirty teeth, bad breath, and eventually cavities. While this is going on, does your mother stop loving you? Or does her heart ache, knowing that you will soon be in pain? If you persist in going against what she taught you about brushing your teeth, does she come over while you're sleeping and drill holes in your teeth? No, the teeth rot on their own. When the pain develops, is it an imposed penalty or a consequence? And what will the pain lead you to do? Hopefully, visit the dentist. Does the dentist inflict more pain to punish you for not brushing your teeth, or does he or she do everything possible to minimize it while setting about to heal the self-inflicted damage? But if you should choose not to visit the dentist and decide instead to endure the pain, perhaps using alcohol to deaden the toothache, eventually the teeth will be so damaged that nothing will remain for the dentist to fix. When we violate God's law, He never stops loving us. His heart breaks as He watches us hurt ourselves, knowing that we will soon be in pain. But He allows the pain to come so that hopefully it might bring us to our senses and we will seek Him for healing. And if we do go to Him, He will never harm us, but does all in His power to minimize the pain as He begins healing our minds. Often, though, the damage is so extensive that even healing itself is accompanied by pain. But if we choose to avoid going to God, and instead numb our pain with alcohol, drugs, sex, work, or TV, eventually the damage will become so extensive that nothing remains to heal. Reason and conscience have been totally destroyed. We have lost the ability to respond. When this happens, what more can God do? Here we encounter what the Bible calls the unpardonable sin. Unpardonable not because God is unwilling to forgive, but because sinners have so injured themselves that they have lost the faculties necessary to recognize and to respond to the pardoning grace He so freely offers. If we violate God's methods long enough, if we become so damaged that we reject any further effort by Him in our behalf, if we destroy our own individuality, God cannot restore it without violating the law of liberty. Assume that someone rejects all entreaties that God sends, that they neglect all efforts of mercy and grace, and that the image of God within has been erased. If God were to restore them to their status before they destroyed themselves, then they would simply repeat the destruction because their character has not changed. If, on the other hand, God were to effect transformation of character so that they would not harm themselves, then he would have made new beings and the former individuals would no longer exist. And as we have seen, to change an individual's character without the individual's consent destroys love, something that God will never do. We must understand the difference between God's rules and God's law. His law is the universal principles that govern life. For example, the law of gravity, the law of love, and the law of liberty. God's rules are the tools he uses while we are children to protect us from the damage that results from violating his law. Until we grow up to understand and incorporate his law into our own hearts and minds, we need the rules. But after we grow up, the rules are no longer necessary. Imagine that one of your rules for your 5-year-old was that she had to brush her teeth before bedtime each night. Suppose that I approached your child and told her, "You don't have to brush your teeth because mommy says so. Rather, you have to brush your teeth because of the second law of thermodynamics, which states that things tend towards disorder. So if you don't brush your teeth, they will decay." Your child might look at me with a puzzled expression and say, "You're not supporting mommy. You're against mommy's rules. You want to get me in trouble with mommy." But if your 5-year-old does disobey and choose not to brush her teeth, what do you think would be her primary concern? That her teeth might decay? Or that her mommy would be angry and punish her? And after she disobeyed, what would be her most likely response? Simply to brush her teeth? Or to pick some flowers or draw a picture to appease mommy? Unfortunately, the church is filled with babes in Christ who never grow up to understand the law behind the rules. When they first become acquainted with the reasons for the rules, they often say, "You're not supporting God. You're against his law. You have no standards and want to get us in trouble with God." And if such Christians do violate God's law and commit an act of sin, they are more concerned about whether he is angry than with the fact their sin is destroying their lives. As a result, they develop an entire theological system based on appeasing God's anger and wrath rather than cooperating with him for the restoration of his image within. Failing to see that sin is actually destroying them and instead misjudging God as angry and vengeful, they spend their time developing theories designed to appease him by making a payment, even stating that he himself supplied the perfect payment. The main focus is not on healing the damage of sin, but instead on avoiding the punishment of an angry and offended God. This situation is similar to your child growing up to believe that if she doesn't brush her teeth, you will become angry and seek to make her pay for her disobedience. How relieved would you be if your child finally understood that you were not angry with her? How thrilled would you be if she realized that you simply wanted her to be healthy? That you had designed the rules as tools to help her while she still lacked the maturity to understand. How sad would you be if your child never understood and remained afraid that you were going to punish her? Mary's life was out of control when she first came to my office. She had been sexually molested as a child, raped as a teenager, and raped again in her 20s. Now, at age 35, she had a teenage son from a failed marriage and 2 children under age 5 from her current marriage. During the 8 years before she came to see me, Mary had consulted 5 other psychiatrists for treatment. During that time, she had also visited 12 therapists. The psychiatrist had offered a wide variety of diagnoses for her problems. Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, also known as manic depressive disorder, multiple personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, benzodiazepine dependence, and unipolar depression. She complained of hearing voices that sometimes told her to kill herself. In addition, she suffered from chronic headaches and multiple medical problems, resulting in her having gone through more than 20 surgical procedures during the previous 8 years. For the past 5 years, much of her life had come to a complete standstill. Unable to cook, clean, take the kids to school, or help with any household chores, she had not functioned as a wife and mother. her husband was responsible for her care. As Mary and I worked together, she came to recognize that she had long-standing unresolved anger and resentment from the mistreatment that had occurred in various relationships throughout her life. She had interpreted the abuse by others as evidence that there was something wrong with her. It led to a significantly distorted self-image accompanied by chronic feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. Every relationship in her life was characterized by dependency issues that further confused and damaged her ability to recover. We began by establishing a therapeutic trust. Then, in the context of this relationship, we explored many painful experiences and re-examined them in light of truth and evidence, reasoning from cause to effect. Mary learned to tolerate unpleasant feelings and chose to apply the things that she concluded were healthy despite how she felt about them. Her therapy lasted longer than with most of my patients, but approximately 18 months later, she was a new person. She had learned how to exercise her reason and conscience to explore facts and circumstances to draw reasonable conclusions. And she had discovered how to exercise her will to implement those conclusions in the face of uncomfortable feelings. This resulted in an ever-increasing sense of self-confidence and self-esteem. When I last heard from Mary, she had not been on any medications for more than 2 years and had not visited the ER for injections of pain medicines. Her headaches had all but subsided, occurring only rarely and relieved with Tylenol. She had heard no voices in more than 2 years, and she was active in all aspects of her life. Besides completely running the household, she attended an aerobics class 3 times per week. She was teaching a women's class at her church each week, and she even gave the sermon 1 week. The coordinator of the church's building fund, she had organized multiple fund drives, such as car washes and bake sales. At the time that we terminated therapy, her husband stated that he now had the woman that he had fallen in love with when they had first met. Most important, they both praised God and stated that they believed it was the inclusion of the spiritual aspect of treatment into her care that made the difference. My diagnosis of Mary was post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. The voices she reported were flashback experiences related to her trauma. Those symptoms had also ceased by the end of her treatment. After she began to exercise her reason and tolerate negative feelings, one of the key issues for Mary in resolving her trauma involved forgiving those who had done her wrong. Her long-held feelings of resentment and bitterness had been a poison welling up inside her and ruining her life. She had clung to many myths about forgiveness that impaired her ability to forgive. As we explored those myths and the real meaning of forgiveness, Mary was finally able to find healing and peace for her heart.
I don't know about you, listener, but I believe that what Dr. Jennings has been sharing in this book is very, very good news. Could It Be This Simple is the name of the book, and it's available in both printed and audiobook format at comeandreason.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the other resources Dr. Jennings and his team have made available for anyone searching for that truth weapon I mentioned in the introduction today. That's comeandreason.com. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Tim Jennings wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.